evening and welcome to the Mind Behind Leadership live on talkradio.nyc. My name is Graham Dobbin and every Thursday we talk live to leaders from all walks of life. We look for real stories from real people, keeping away necessarily from the theory and dig into what happens in everyday life and business and sport and military. Now, this is the first show of 2021 and it's the 7th of January. And by that time, most resolutions are wavering. All those promises we made a week ago are beginning to get a little bit more difficult. We fall back into old habits. In fact, statistically, just so you know, by February, only one in five of us will still be in that same path. It's the same in business. We have those moments like New Year, the start of the financial years, where we plan it out, what we can and will do, and then stuff happens. Now, we know that only too well over the last 12 months. Our guest tonight has experienced that over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, that things have come in and changed really quickly. In business, we don't only just look at what we may do. We also seem to create rules around what we can't do. And tonight, we're going to challenge that. So for 2021, we're kicking off with a bang. We have someone who I know is to be the best at showing us how to keep in focus, keep on mission, and stand out. Our guest this evening, I'm absolutely delighted. Once again, we have Mike Macedonio, who is a New York Times best-selling author, a speaker, and entrepreneur. Mike is also the co-founder of Ascentive. Now, he's built that from being a small training and consultancy company to a franchise organization with over 60 locations in 6 continents. He's also the co-executive director for BNI in the Bay Area. And in this role, he helps thousands of local business owners build their businesses through structured business networking. This gives him a really unique insight that we'll be digging into tonight. Now, he lives with his life with a passion and adventure. One of his proudest moments was twice competing in the Leadville Trail 100-mile mountain bike race in Colorado. That sounds like hard work. Mike also gives back to the community, holding a position on the board of directors for the Wisconsin Big Cat Rescue, a non-profit organization caring for abused or neglected tigers and lions. And when he's not helping entrepreneurs or the big cats or cycling, he has a passion for being with his wife and entertaining friends. Mike, that's a big welcome. Great to see you again.
Thank you, Graham. It's so great to see you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. That sunshine in the background, where are you joining us from today? I'm jealous.
From Santa Rosa, California. California. Not a bad day for January.
Yeah, we've not had too much sun in New York. So, Mike, just to kind of kick us off, give us a little bit of an idea of the businesses you're involved with, what you do, and how you help.
Yeah, well today I primarily work with small business owners, and primarily working with them on marketing their business. Now, with Ascentive, that's through coaching and consulting and some workshops as well to help the business owner. On the BNI side of it, it's about structured networking groups. Okay, so these are groups of business owners coming together and to help each other. So both of those businesses are really satisfying for me because I thrive on the small business owner. I mean, they to me, and it had a lot to do with my upbringing, it really is the people that I admire the most. You know, the ones that don't have all the resources that working off of a large corporation, nothing wrong with large corporations, but those small business owners like yourself, Graham, that have to work within a limited budget, limited amount of time. Okay. And in many cases, wearing many, many hats. And to me, they're the workhorses of the economy, and they're the ones I respect because the sleeves are rolled up and the tenacity of never giving up, which is a very important value to me.
Okay, I can hear it in your voice. I can see it in your face that you've got a passion for this. When was the first time you rolled your sleeves up? When was the first time that you kind of went, I'm getting stuck into a job or a business?
Well, I think the transition happened just about 23, 24 years ago, where I just felt like a victim working with people. Not that I was treated badly. I wasn't treated badly at all. But, man, I just needed to be my own boss. And in the worst way, I was going to do whatever it took to be my own boss. And clearly, I didn't have the money, and I didn't have a clue. No money and no clue.
It's a good starting point.
And that's in spite of, getting a degree in business, in spite of being in management for a couple of decades, really in terms of running and building and starting a small business, I was clueless. I had two things that I was bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. Work hard and work a lot. Work hard and work a lot. And I excelled at working hard and working a lot. So much so that at that time, I was hustling four different businesses. Wow. None of them were related, by the way. They weren't complementary. They were just four different ways of making money. I was working 7 days a week. I was working 14 hours a day. And there were some people say, yeah. No, I can show you my calendar. From February to the end of October, there wasn't a day off. There wasn't a holiday. There wasn't your child's birthday. I worked every one of those days. So at the end of the day, I was paying my bills. And I was still cutting my lawn. I was still shoveling the snow in the driveway. And I was still changing the oil in my car. I was showing my children how to move up to the pinnacle of mediocrity.
Wow.
And that truly was my life. But I felt good about it. I'm like, that's right, man. I'm a business owner. I'm my own boss. A pretty bad one, but I'm my own boss. Well,
When did you realize that couldn't carry on then?
It's really interesting because it's really getting connected with Ivan Meisner, the founder of BNI, mm-hmm. and getting involved in BNI that I recognized that it didn't have to be that way, because I wasn't brought up and I wasn't told and I wasn't taught in college that collaboration, working with others, helping others, can transform all of that. And that's one of the things I started getting BNI. I'd like to tell you, I was a quick study on it. It probably took me a few years to really grasp that concept of working with people. And when it did, I mean, it was the game changer. And I mentioned about, that going to college and being in management position for all those years. When I really think about my entrepreneurship, I learned more as a paper boy about how to run a business than I did anything else up until I started working with other business owners, like through BNI, for example.
Yeah.
The paper route taught me work ethic. It taught me about keeping records. It taught me about the need of customer service. And here's a big one. It taught me how to do collections. Those collections were important because that was your money. I can remember one lady, she would always ditch me and she would not want to pay me. And this can go on for weeks. Well, that's my money. And man, on Saturday, I can tell you, I would stand at that doorbell and I would just keep ringing it for 20 minutes because I know she's in there and I want my $1.25. But it really did teach me a lot about business. But again, fast forward, it's really being around other business owners that really showed me this is the way you can build a business. This is the way you can scale a business. Many of the things that you mentioned in my introduction are a direct result of that. Through the contacts I made in BNI, to relationship I had with Ivan Meisner, we started the Referral Institute, now Ascentive. We expanded that through the contacts and the relationships that we had. The best-selling book, Truth or Delusion, was completely put over the top through collaboration in the network that we had. And specifically, there were 96 people on that list that I sent a thank you note that helped promote that book for us. Wow. And I don't know if I told you this stuff. My wife, Dawn, was a referral from BNI.
I'm going to mention we're probably treading on very thin ice here, so be careful with what you say. You're going to have to expand on that one. You're going to have to expand that one out, Mike.
Well, it's very interesting because you're familiar with, obviously Referral Institute Incentive.
Yeah.
And she was referred to us and he said, Dawn's a great speaker. She's a great coach. She's great at sales. And I'm like, yeah, I want to talk to her. And I get on the phone with her and she was just a brat. She's challenged whether the stuff we had was good enough. And I was just like, oh, I just want to get off the phone. But I got this referral from Ivan. I've got to be nice. It went back and forth. And if I told you all the bantering, you'd say you were pretty nasty too. So it was going back and forth. And at the end, I said, listen, buy the license, come out with your partner. I'll see you in Detroit. At the end of day one, if you don't think this stuff is absolutely world-class, okay, leave your books on the table, go shopping, I'm going to give you your money back. She said, great. Now, I don't think she even said goodbye. I think she just hung up on me. Fast forward, she comes, she's blown away with the materials, absolutely wants to be involved in it, gets involved in it. Of course, with her abilities, becomes a top producer. And along the way, becomes a partner in the organization. And then, of course, we figured out that we really kind of did like each other.
That was kind of lucky then, I suppose, yeah. That you did like each other. Right. So you're both involved in, you're involved with the center, but also in BNI in the Bay Area. Now, one of the things that you mentioned with BNI, if anybody's not familiar with it, it's about, as you say, groups coming together. It's about a collaboration of businesses. Groups coming together has changed dramatically in the last 12 months. Just talk me through what kind of changes you've had to do just on that side before we get into the detail.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting. Like many businesses had to shift and make their pivots. And of course, when you have a business that only meets face-to-face and the whole model is about face-to-face networking and passing a business, this one has to pivot. But again, so do many, many other types of businesses. And you know what's really interesting about it is when it happened, it's like, whoa, what are we going to do? And of course, we have to go online. We have to create an online platform to do this. And even though that seemed like a big task and we did it and it went really well, when I really stepped back and I look over the year, I'm like, so what are we doing? Like, just in that business, what are we doing? Okay, well, we're connecting people. We're building relationships. We meet weekly. The members also meet one-to-one outside the meeting. They pass referrals to one another. They invite other people to see this. And I was like, that's all the things we did before. Mm-hmm. It's simply in a virtual room, not a in-person room. And so many times I'm looking at people's businesses and like, you have to be able to adapt. You have to go in a different direction. I look at this radio show, for example, with you. I mean, Graham, you are out there meeting with people, networking, doing presentations. That's your model. Okay. Now, still servicing the same people. They still have the same need. You still have the same offering. Okay. We just have to adapt to a virtual world for the time being, or maybe even permanently. And I see that with a lot of businesses. I kind of feel that first thing we need to do is say, what's the same? Do the customers mm-hmm. still have the same problem? Do we still have the same solution? Okay. What are all of those things that are same? Okay. Now, what do we need to adapt to continue to do that? You know, my son came out here 7 years ago, and because he's seen how well I've done in BNI, he refused to join BNI. And my wife told him that, you know, you really should do BNI. And he's like, no, I don't want to do BNI. I don't want to be another Macedonian in BNI. And he was invited by seven different people. And finally, a friend of ours, she's a real estate agent. She says, hey, Scott, I'm doing a presentation at BNI. It would really mean a lot to me if you came and supported me and you were there. Right? So he comes, he sees the meeting, and he's filling out an application. And Brooke goes up to him and says, you're not supposed to do that. Well, anyways, that was 7 years ago. And he has completely built his business by referral, by networking. He's a personal trainer. His business model has only been meeting with clients, okay, meeting in a gym, okay, mm-hmm. working out with the clients and teaching them, you know, what they need to know and keeping them accountable. That's his whole business model. Okay? Well, you can't go to the gym. You can't meet face to face. People still want to stay fit. They still want the accountability. They still want a personal trainer. And you have the solution. He moved that online and kept almost entire base of business. And I've watched other people who, when they made that shift, it didn't work so well.
It's interesting. I think I mentioned this to you. I was working with a company just before Christmas. We recorded it for a Verizon television show called The Comeback Coach, and it was a gym. It was a personal gym, and they had gone through that where membership had dropped dramatically, and now they're coming back through on kind of that mix of online and some in person and some, but they know that everything's kind of temporary. So I know exactly what he's done. And if he's been able to do that over the last year, that's phenomenal. Mike, we're just about to go to a break. But after the break, I kind of want to have a chat about what you've seen and what the challenges have been for other businesses. And then have let's do a bit of a dive into goal setting and your own personal opinion about how we should be doing that. You're listening to Mind Behind Leadership. We're speaking with Mike Macedonio. We're live on talkradio.nyc, and we'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Macedonio, and we're talking about goal setting and kind of what's happening when businesses change. Now, Mike, one of the things that stood out to me when we first met four or five years ago now, is, you know, in your area, you already said you're joining us from Santa Rosa. There were big changes in the environment in Santa Rosa on a regular basis, but everybody's talking about what's happening globally. But locally, you had to deal with fires, you had to deal with, you know, life-changing environmental issues that happened around, that stopped businesses, that put people out of homes. So you've been used to that business disruption. You've been used to maybe that creativity, and I'm sure a lot of the people you work with are as well. How has that helped or not over the last 12 months when we've had to be probably more creative than ever?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things, and we've had to adapt to a lot. So like Graham says, we've had some massive fires. We're still rebuilding 5,000 homes we lost in this city. We've had fires again come through this year. We've had power outages. So all of those things happening, as well as the social injustices and rioting and like a lot of parts of the country. And, you know, it's really interesting. It's like some of those things you're getting hit with, and it's with everything else, you're just like, oh, that's just another punch. You know, in some cases, that's the way it was actually feeling. Oh, yeah, there's another one, you know, even though you're in this massive brawl. And it's, you know, I think, you know, when we first came into the pandemic, and I think this is probably more of a global thing than a Santa Rosa thing. You know, I think there were two different ways people approached it. See, people are looking at it and saying, what are we going to do? And other people were retreating and panicking. Mm-hmm. And I think this happens certainly in a disaster like that. It also happens sometimes on things like a turn in the economy. You know, I watch people start watching their business going down. The economy is getting worse. They're hearing more about the economy, more than it's actually impacting them. And what they do is they retreat. And to me, that is like the worst plan. You know, they start mm-hmm. cutting back on their marketing. They start, you know, like they're going to bunker down until it's over. Like, yeah, bunker town until it's over. You're going to be over. And I think the biggest adaption I've seen with people being successful, and the thing that I've tried to encourage people to do, is you got to lean into this. You got to look for what the opportunities. You got to do more. Okay, and whatever's working, do more of that. Are you connecting with people? Are you meeting with people? Because that retreating causes that cave dweller syndrome. And certainly when we have a shelter in place like we do here, we have to stay home, that cave can prevent you from opportunities. And it doesn't have to. That's the key. You know, I'm joining other online networks. I'm out there. I know I am. I'm out there more than I was before. Okay, because I know I have to be. And I think that's the key. But here's the other thing. I knew the businesses would take a hit. Okay, so I upped my staff. We need to do more. We need to do more. So how do we take advantage of it? We do more. And, you know, that's the recommendation I have. And I think that's the best way truly to adapt. You know, I talk about getting out there and not being in that cave. Just recently, in the past couple of weeks, I've been interviewing the top 1%ers in our organization, the people that are absolutely destroying it with their contributions inside of BNI, top 1%ers. And I would ask them, I said, what's your secret? What did you do? And it was a very interesting theme that I started hearing, because these are completely different styles, you know, from the most introverted commercial insurance salesperson to the most extroverted, you know, very different styles, different ways of doing it. But a lot of it started off with, well, when I first moved to this area, I knew no one and I knew I needed to get out there. And I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, well, yeah. And I'm thinking about people in Ascentive and Referral Institute. I mean, any of the top producers like yourself, okay, you're not from New York, you know.
Does it show?
Can you tell?
Can you tell I'm not from New York, Mike? How can you tell?
I'm still trying to convince him I have a Santa Rosa accent. So, but I think, and because I'm also, you know, that not from California. What I believe is people like that have trained, have worked outside of their comfort zone, so they're willing to get out there where people that have not have really created a stronger cave rather than a stronger network. Not in all cases. I'm not saying in all cases that's the case. But in a lot of cases, there's a sense of comfort feeling that you are connected to community because you've always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When in reality, you go to the same restaurant and order the same food every week. In reality, your network is not something you stay in contact with. I believe there's a courage in relocating, which adds to the skill set of being willing to get out there. And that's what I see as a key adaptation to this environment. We need to get out there.
It's interesting. We probably don't always recognize that in ourselves, because you're in it, you do it. And as you just said, that's not a Santa Rosa accent. So you've done it by going across there and doing the right thing. Certainly, this time last year, I would never have dreamt it would have had a radio show or done a television series or, you know, worked with companies in South Africa and all over the world from here, from New York. In fact, last year about this time, I was across in Australia and they were going through the wildfires then. Everybody's forgotten about those. They were front page and headline news all over the world. And then it kind of stopped. So it's interesting how we do instinctively adapt. The top 1%ers that you're talking about, and just to clarify for everybody, these are members, these are business owners that are performing within kind of the community that you've got. You said that was one of the things when I came here. Was there anything within maybe their character, within their approach, not just the "I needed to do it"? Did you see any common themes in there that drove them to just take on that challenge?
I think it was a general caring for other people.
Okay.
And that was they actually care. And sometimes they care about different things.
Mm.
Like, you know, like one woman, you know, she invited a person into BNI, into network, and she's a roofing contractor. He's a solar person. So she was feeding him business left and right. And he was doing the same for her. And, you know, there it is a year later. And the gentleman comes up to her and says, I want to tell you how much it means to me that you're doing this for me. She goes, I have a special needs child. And a year ago, before you invited me in and started, you know, made me part of this network, I didn't know how I was going to put food on the table. And the amount of business you brought me, the amount of, you know, success you've given me is allowing me to have a good life, you know, with my family.
Wow.
That was meaningful. And then another gentleman, I asked him what's so important. He says, mainly I bring in a lot of people that are not maybe sales professionals, not part of their trade. They might be artists. They might be, you know, professions that don't like to promote themselves so much, or maybe don't feel confident. And I invite them into networking, and I watch people with their teeth chattering because they're so nervous to speak. Just so, and then watch them transform over months and years to be so polished and so well-spoken. He says, that's the thing that warms my heart. That's why I do it. I want people in here to make those personal, professional transformations. It's not just about you're going to get business.
It's interesting. We can be really good at what we do, but if we can't get that message over, there's a phenomenal story about Warren Buffett and about him going through the Dale Carnegie program, the public speaking program. And he said if he hadn't done that, he would not be where he is now. It's the only certificate he's got on his wall in his office. Doesn't have his degrees, doesn't have anything like that. He said it's added at least 50% on to the value of his career. That's just by being able to speak. That's not being great at what he does. It was about being able to speak and about the kind of deals that he could then do. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting you've highlighted that. Just before we go, we'll go into another break about 4 or 5 minutes. So let's just kind of have a look at this in the start. One of the things I mentioned at the beginning is this is a time of year that everybody says, I'm going to change. I'm going to do something. And there's maybe, I think people are hoping that other things will change rather than changing themselves this year, unusually. But in business, again, as I mentioned, we take these moments, we take a new year or a new financial year or something happening to plan. When do you think is the best time for us to begin to plan or set our goals or when we're in business?
Right now.
Okay. Is that because it's the beginning of the year or?
No, just now's good. And so what, and I did this last year. Like I'll tell people, you're going to set your goals for January. That's great. But you can start your action items now. For example, last year I wanted to get more fit, more lean because I had a cycling goal for February. And I said, I'm not waiting till first of the year to lose weight. I'm starting now. Okay. And that was like November. By the time I hit January, I was already down 10 pounds. Well, if I went through the holidays like I normally do, I'm going to put on 10 pounds. I'm 20 pounds ahead. Yeah. Okay. And the same thing could apply to my marketing. Why do I have to wait until January to market? Market now and market relentlessly. And I you know, I always say it's not cheating if you take a head start in business.
Yeah.
At a bike race, it's cheating. In business, you don't have to wait for everybody else. Yeah. So start now.
What do you think gets in the way of doing that?
You know, okay, so I'm a cyclist. And to me, my occupational hazard is anytime I'm doing something in cycling, somehow it's related to business. Mm-hmm. And okay. I actually learned a marketing lesson going to a bike race. And so this is a race. It's an 8-hour race on a mountain north of here, on Cobb Mountain. It's really complicated. You get 450 crazy mountain bikers at 30 in the morning while it's freezing out, lining up. They say go, and you have to race up and around the mountain. And you kind of see how many times you could do that in 8 hours.
Okay. 8 hours, and, you said.
And the category I'm in is single speed, which means we're going to do it without gears. Okay. Now, obviously, this isn't the young guy showing up on the line. Right? And I've got two other teammates, and we relay, basically. And we go out there, and I got a great team. And we're doing well. No crashes, no mechanicals. We're doing well. And we're coming close to the end of the race, and we're doing really well. And it comes up to the last lap, and it says, are we going to have time for this to finish up? And they're like, I don't think so. And like, Mike, you're going to go for it, right? And I'm like, yes, I'm going to go for it. Now, Graham, you're going to come up with a break, so I'm going to come back with this at the end.
you're going to hold us up like that. So we're going to find out whether Mike did came up for it. Are you listening to The Mind Behind Leadership? We're with Mike Macedonia, and he's left us hanging till after these messages.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
You know you have it. The potential for a more rewarding life, a life that matters. But how do you get there? The answer is in a best-selling book by the coach of the successful and wealthy, Ken D. Foster, The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Awaken Your Hidden Genius and Transform Your Life. With this powerful yet amazingly simple daily guide, your future is in your hands. You will be empowered to unlock your potential, bring out your true gifts, increase your wealth, and take your life and business to a new level. Get your life-transforming copy of Ken D. Foster's The Courage to Change Everything by going to couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. Quite frankly, there's no other book like this. Imagine what your life could be like if you had at your fingertips the success principles to create the life you've always wanted. Are you ready to live your dream? Go to couragetochange.us.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Mind Behind the Leadership with me, Graham Dobbin, live on talkradio.nyc. We were hearing about, Mike, you're going to have to just briefly tell us where you are in this story since you've left us hanging, just in case anybody's just joined us.
Okay, so we are getting towards the end of the race, and the question is, you have to make an intelligent decision and a not intelligent sport of, am I going to go out for the last lap? The amount of time that's left on the clock is telling me that I don't have enough time. I'm waiting for my buddy to come in, my cycling mate coming in, and you know how long it's taking you every time you're going off for a lap. And even though you go out there and you put it all out, everything you got, and you feel you ran as hard as you can, for some reason it's about a minute slower than the last one as the day's going on. And so that time window has closed. But here's my buddy's like, you're going to go for it, right? And most of the races are finished by then because they either exhausted or they don't have time. And like, you're going to go for it. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. And okay, my buddy comes in. I come out of the transition area and I'm shooting it out. And the first thing I'm starting to think about is, I know what they're thinking. I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, he ain't going to make it. And it doesn't matter how far you make it. When the time's up, the gate's closed, it doesn't count. All right. And then the second thing that goes through my mind is, I know what they're doing. They're lining up for burgers and barbecue right now. And I started to think about it and I said, no, everything has to be outside of that. The only thing you're going to walk out is right now, riding the best you can ride right now. All right. So the lap is going on, and it finishes going downhill off the mountain. And I'm coming down and I'm thinking, I could make it. I think I could make it. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing the finish line. I hear the announcer, 1 minute. And as I'm racing down, I hear, you know, everyone cheering, you know, 30, 29. And I come charging across the finish line. Everyone's, well, my buddies are throwing beers up in the air. Everyone's going nuts that I made it. They're like, and so I come through and they're like, man, how'd you do it? Like, how did you have the fastest lap at the end of the day? Okay. And all I can tell them is, I was shattered. I was completely shattered, you know. But when I did catch my breath, when I wanted to be able to tell them, I told them two things. And this is important in marketing, I believe. I believe this is critical in marketing. I said, first of all, there was no last lap without you guys. Okay. The crushing times that you did all day is the only thing that left that window of opportunity for us. Okay. So this is something you may want to write down, you know, hook your wagon to horses that are there to ride as hard as you will. Hook your wagon to horses. Don't hook them to people that are going to drag you down. Put it in that, you know, you expect and you are looking for people that want to work as hard as you do. And that was, but the second thing that I learned, and I think this was absolutely marketing genius, and that is being successful in mountain bike race, being successful in marketing, you have to do what other people aren't willing to do. You see, that last lap, although it was the fastest time, was because there wasn't competition. And if you can market your business in the exclusion of competition, you can go so much farther. You can do it so much faster. This is not unusual, by the way. So people that watch and as fans of NASCAR, the last laps are the fastest because of attrition. There's less cars in the way. There was no other bikes on the path with me that had to have me say, do I try to pass them? Do I go off trail? Do I blow myself up trying to get by them? Okay, I can ride my ride the whole time. I also didn't have riders around me that were riding so hard that they were blowing me up.
Yeah.
Right? So how could you get into that lane where the competition isn't there? And this is practical in business. A lot of times they say, well, I can't. No, I said, well, no, the reality is everybody's doing what everybody else is doing. You know, they're all showing up in the same platforms. They all have the same message. Come see me. I'm the best. Blah, blah, blah. Right? So I'll give you two examples on how I've seen this work. You can tell I'm from the East Coast, and this gentleman that I'm talking with is also a Paisan like me. So we have a way of, you know, there's a lot of talking without words. And we're talking about his marketing. He's a partner in a CPA firm. Mm-hmm. The expectations of the partners is you need to bring in business. Yes, you have to do taxes and that type of stuff, but you have to bring in business. And their formula, and I think this is a great one for high billable industries like attorneys and accountants, they invest 20% of their time marketing and selling, 80% of their time in billing. Let me tell you, when you're marketing 20% of your time marketing and selling, okay, you're going to have a pipeline filled that you can choose the type of business that you want. Right? If your pipeline is empty, you're taking everything and you're probably even losing money on some of those deals. But it was really good. And I said to him, I said, Steve, I said, that's brilliant. And I know you're really good at networking. So you must be very successful at this. Okay. And this is what he gives me, the Paisan wink. And he tells me, he goes, including tax season. What? I go, he goes, including tax season. He says, I go, you guys should be crazy busy during tax season. He goes, yeah, we've done this before. We know we're going to be crazy business during tax season. Okay, but when the partners are out there marketing like we do, and we do, we own the market because nobody else is there. No other CPAs are showing. They're going to wait till after tax season, after they come back from vacation, and they're all going to be marketing out there in a market that we already own. We're willing to do what other people aren't willing to do. Do it where nobody else is doing it. Serve an audience that nobody else is serving.
Yeah.
Similar story, a coaching client, he is a mortgage broker, mm-hmm. and he's very disciplined. I love a lot of things about his tenacity and work ethic, but we were talking about cause and effect. I said, you know, if you do the marketing here, you get the business here, don't think it's going to happen overnight. And that's why I think, like, when people say, I'm gonna really put my muscle into the marketing in January, well, that might help you in March. Right? So, yep. So one of the things we talked about, I said, in your industry, he's in the real estate industry, if you would, a lot of people kind of pull back, clean their office, but they don't do a lot in terms of getting out there and meeting people during the holidays. I said, why don't we create a plan from Thanksgiving to New Year's that you market relentlessly? I mean, really put your full, because you know you're not going to have a lot of deals going through at that time of year, but just market relentlessly.
Now, this is a mortgage broker.
Mortgage, correct.
Yep. Right? Not the busiest time of year for them then.
So he comes back to me, and this is, he goes, yeah, I want to tell you something. That session that we had and all of the things we talked about as what my offer should be, and particularly mm-hmm. about marketing relentlessly, let me tell you how it played out. I contacted some real estate agents. They wouldn't give me the time of day. It's like, yeah, I don't do that this time of year. But others did. And I was at it. He says, last year in January, I didn't close a single loan. A lot of them got pushed out and I got them in February. Yep. But, you know, in terms of my goal, I'm playing catch up all year long. He says, this year, I closed $8.5 million in loans in January. He goes, I am riding the wave. Everywhere I show up, people know I'm riding the wave. I'm not trying to catch up on my goals. I'm ahead of them. And it's just rolling, rolling, rolling. Okay, because that time of year when nobody else was, I was the guy out there.
It's interesting because I suppose one of the things that I was thinking about for our discussion today was everybody's making these plans now. You know, everybody wants to get, I'm sure your son's really busy because everybody wants to get fit. Everybody wants to do all these things. So there's this natural cycle. And I'm also curious, you just reminded me of something about coming here. Not being local from here, I hear it all the time in New York when we get to the summer. You can't work on a Monday and a Friday because everybody goes to the Hamptons. You know, there's no networking on a Friday. There's none of this. There's none of it. There's all these things that happen. And I 2 years ago, I organized at the Rockefeller Center, organized a networking event on a Friday morning because nobody else would do it. So I thought I'll do it on a Friday morning. On Memorial Weekend, I didn't know. And when I realized it was Memorial Weekend, I was just about to cancel it. And I thought, no, keep going. Let's see what happens. We sold out. We sold out because nobody else was there. And it was probably one of the best. It stands out because it was one of the best best events that I've ever had because people were relaxed. They were kind of demob happy. They were chilled out. There was five or six people that had brought cases that were heading to you know, Penn Station for the Amtrak to go away for the weekend after the meeting. So people were turning up, they were casual, but there was a really good vibe. It was like the kind of last day at school type of thing. Why do you think we kind of put all these rules around ourselves? Why do we kind of like, we just want to keep doing what everybody else does?
Yeah, and I think part of it, like you were talking about, you know, networking at times when other people aren't networking. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is, like, for example, on that week of a holiday, there are going to be people saying, I'm not going to be around. There are people in New York in the summertime that are going to go to the Hamptons or the Catskills. They will. Yeah. But then what we assume is everybody's going. You know, they all went. And the reality is, you know, many people still need to market their business the week of a holiday. Many people still need to or want to get out there and network with other people that are equally committed. You know, Graham, I had a similar just a couple of weeks ago. I went back to doing something I'd done years ago. Okay, the week of a holiday, okay, when people are checking out because, oh, we got to go with the family, we got to do this stuff, I would put on a networking event. And I would do that literally the day before Thanksgiving. I would do it the day before Christmas Eve. I mean, I'm not talking like the week. And at the time, my training center could take up to 100 people. So I would tell them, I said, okay, you know, it's up to 100 people. And it's a $10 admission fee. You're going to pay $10. I'll tell you in a minute why it's $10. Okay. And when you come, if you bring non-perishable food and donate it to the food bank, you can have your $10 back. But if you want to donate the $10, I'll match it. So at every event, no one took their money back. Everybody, but we would bring tons of food to the food bank. $1,000, I'd match it $1,000. We'd give $2,000 to the food bank. The $10 wasn't, by the way, I like raising money for the food bank. The $10 made sure they were going to be there and everybody was there.
Right.
So I said I was going to redo that. Well, it's a little bit difficult when you don't have a training center. So, but I still did it. Okay. I did it on December 30th. And December 30th, wow, we're going to do networking on steroids, no Scrooges allowed. And I'm going to give you 1 hour of value in connections with people in the room. I had 120 people registered, over 90 showed up. But if I had those 120 put $10, I would have had them all.
Right.
Because there was no skin in the game. But the point being is, wow, here you go. You know, you get that many people in the middle of a holiday? I think there are people that are committed out there that will do things. So,
yeah, you know, a large part of it, certainly I feel, is put it on. If people can make it, great. If they can't, they can. Or they won't. It's a choice, but give people the choice to make. We're just going to go to final break. And when we come back, really want to kind of dig in, how do we keep focus for this year? You know, one of the things, what drives us away? I'm thinking back to that bike ride that you did, Mike. And also, what kind of opportunities do you think could come up? Because my mind's been completely opened by the opportunities I could never have imagined at this time last year. So it's really interesting. I'll be interested in your thoughts and your opinion on what could happen in the next 12 months or so. You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership live on talkradio.nyc. My name is Graham Dobbin, and we're lucky enough to be speaking with Mike Macedonio this evening. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Mind Behind Leadership. We're speaking with Mike Macedonio. What we're talking about now is just how we stand out, how we do things slightly differently in business, and how we keep focus on it. Because, Mike, I suppose that's one of the things. When we talk about resolutions, we've all got these great ideas, how we're going to change, what we're going to do. I wonder if you were maybe more focused on your bike race last year and kept to the plan because you had that end goal. I wonder if that's one of the reasons that people don't keep focus, that they don't really know what success looks like.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that, Graham. I think having a big vision, mm-hmm. and part of that vision, of course, being a rewarding goal, something that's important to you. Yeah, not just making money, but something that's really important to you. That's the way to stay focused for me. So last year, in February, I had a goal that I was going to cycle up Mauna Loa volcano. It's only a 31-mile climb by bike.
just the 31 miles.
What else do you do on your 60th birthday? Well, you know, I'm not going to show up at that, you know, without, you know, putting in the time. So, you know, with that level of focus, it doesn't matter what the weather is. I'm still going to be riding in December and January and into February to make sure that I'm prepared for that. So I think that is a big part of it, is to have that vision of what you're trying to achieve and have that goal out there. Along with that, the biggest tool that I have to stay focused is my calendar. If it's in my calendar, okay, it's scheduled, it's going to get done. Even little stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, that I need to contact. So if it's in there, that to me, that is my tool for focus, if you would.
Okay. You know,
I look at what we're going through today, And I see this from a business point of view, is it's going to cause recession. Right? Unemployment's high. People are losing their businesses. Places are closing down. That's where it's going. Well, I will tell you something. My belief that if we didn't have everything that's going on, if we didn't have the political issues, the social issues, the COVID, and everything else that's going on, I think the number one topic on the news today would be about the economy.
Okay.
And here's what I have to say about it. Don't totally buy into it. Don't totally buy into it. In 2008, when the economy tanked, and I'm talking here locally, I know nationally it did as well, the housing market took a big hit. And I'll give you an example. In the mortgage industry, 60% of the mortgage brokers left the industry. That's kind of a setback. That's kind of a recession. 60% of them, because of the extra criteria, because of lack of business. And yet, this is your micro economy, not the macro economy. And yet, you know, I had a client, Evelyn, at that point before 2008, she had never made more than $75,000. $75,000 back then wasn't a bad income, okay? But she wanted to make more, okay? And so we started doing more. We started doing more activities in her business. We started doing things to work her micro economy, not the macro economy. Within a year, she was making over $100,000. With over 2 years, she was making $150,000 in one of the worst recessions that she's ever had to develop her business. So it doesn't have to be attached. You don't have to be that attached to the business. And again, I know I'm talking about small businesses. That doesn't apply to all industries. But Graham, I don't know if you knew this, but in the history of Referral Institute, when we went into 2008, the training and consulting industry got shattered. Nobody was hiring trainers and consultants. They were laying people off. They're not bringing in trainings and consultants. 2008 was my worst year of growth throughout the recession. We only plussed 8%. We plussed 8% in comp revenue. And every year after that, our comp revenue was double digits. Right? Okay. We didn't buy into the industry economy. We worked on our own micro economy. Now, I think there were some other reasons that lent it to us to be successful during that time. But I also believe it was about making sure that we're doing all of the things so that we're keeping in mind that vision that we have. We're keeping in mind the goals, both short-term and long-term. If I'm adapting anything to my goals today, I would say I'm adapting to do more short-term goals.
And what do you mean by, sorry, just to clarify, what do you mean by short-term goals? What length of time were we looking at?
Yeah, you know, typically I would put out goals for a year or two or three. Those are long-term goals. And right now I'm doing short-term goals, and here's why. Things are changing so quickly around us. Mm-hmm. Okay, and for the good and for the bad. Okay, for the bad, if people are losing businesses, well, that's not good for a marketing company. Okay, at the same time, I got opportunities where people are saying, I need to recapture business.
Yeah.
And so as quickly as things can, you know, take a hit, they can go the other way. And so working off of short-term goals allows me to continue to set those goals based on the current circumstances, based on what I currently have, what my current circumstances are. So that's probably the one little shift that I've made in my goals to have a little bit more short-term.
It sounds like from the discussion that we're having that this is about self-discipline. So it's about activity and self-discipline. So it sounds like your paper round when you were younger gave you that kind of the grounding to be able to do that. Would that be fair?
Well, you know, when you think about that, like how many people, never mind kids, would have a job that they had to do it 7 days a week? Okay, yeah. 5 evenings, 75 papers, and I split it with my brother, had to get delivered. Mom wasn't driving us around. You had to put the bag on your shoulder. And in New England, as you know, it rains, it snows, and you still need to do that every day. And on Saturday and Sunday morning, every day, and there is no day off. You know, that's a level of work ethic that most people, unless you're a farmer. Okay, the farmers understand that work ethic.
Yeah, absolutely. Trust me, it rains and snows in Old England and Scotland as well, not just New England. Mike, we've only got a few minutes left. How do you relax then, or do you relax? How do you get away from the business when you and Dawn are involved with it, and so much of your life is around, your community around those people? How do you relax apart from being on the bike?
The bike is a stress reducer for sure. That's also where I can get creative. I enjoy that. But really the downtime for me and my wife, a lot of times people look at us and say, oh, you guys are really extroverted. And actually now situationally, but naturally introverted. Okay. And so alone time is the biggest thing to recoup for me. Now, my wife will do alone time, which could be in the garden, okay, or she'll do crafts, or she'll just binge watch, you know, alone with the cats and the dogs all over her, and she likes that. Me, I like to be mindless, but I like to be moving. And so I will literally start up the leaf blower. Now, I've got a landscape, and I came here today, but I'll take that leaf blower, and I live on the side of a mountain, as you know, and I will leaf blow a one-mile round trip down my driveway and back up the mountain again to make sure that all the rocks and sticks are off the thing. Completely mindless, but I have to be moving. You know, I just need to be moving, but there is nothing going on in here.
Do you think that's important for business owners kind of to clear it? Just clear it.
Yeah, I do. I really do. I told you I used to work 14-hour days, 7 days a week. I don't do that anymore, and I don't recommend it to anybody. It's a great way to get to mediocrity. I think they're good values to have great work ethic. But I do believe very strongly that if you don't take care of this, then none of that's going to matter. And so, you know, decompressing the mind, physically working out.
Okay. Mike, thank you once again for coming on. One of my big takeaways is hoot your wagon. The horses that are willing to run as hard as you. Did I get that right? Will hook your wagon to horses that are willing to ride as hard as you.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's having a community around us that are prepared to do the things that we need to be done and also stand out. Do, you know, what everybody else is doing, what would be 180 degrees from that? So when people aren't doing things, 180 degrees would be do something. So have a look outside that box. Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mind Buying Leadership. Thank you tonight for Sam Leibovitz, for our producer. We will see you next Thursday again here live on talkradio.nyc. Have a great evening. Thank you. Good night.
Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.